The Lord be with you.
The Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver. And from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12, and while they were eating, he said,
"Amenizing,
one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him, one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had not been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat. This is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant,
which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins.
I tell you, from now on, I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night, all of you will have your faith
in me shaken, for it is written, I will strike the and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed. But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again, and prayed a third time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners. Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand."
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, do what you have come for."
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then how would the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day after day I sat teaching in the temple area. You did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death, but they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
"This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God, and within 3 days rebuild it.'"
The high priest rose and addressed him,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus was silent.
"I order you to tell us under oath before the living God whether you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"You have said so. But I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the Father and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed me. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply, Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy from us, Christ, who is it that struck you?"
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you're talking about."
As they went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
"This man was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again, he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
"Surely you too are one of them. Keeping your speech keeps you away."
And he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately, a cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
"I have sinned in betraying innocent blood."
They said,
"Look to yourself."
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
It is not wrong to deposit this in the temple treasury. For it is Christ of God.
After consultation, they used it to buy the potter's field as a burial place for foreigners. That is why that field, even today, is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said through Jeremiah the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and he questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said,
You say so.
When he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
Do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?
But he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on the occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time they had a notorious prisoner named Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
Which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus called Christ?
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message. Have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
Which of the two do you want me to release to you?
They answered,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
Then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said, But he said,
Why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder,
Let him be crucified.
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people said in reply, Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be baptized, to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head, and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying, They spat upon him, and took the reed, and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of the cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man they pressed into service to carry his cross. When they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But when he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. Then they sat down and kept watch over him there. And they placed over his head the written charge against him. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
You would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. Save yourself, you are the Son of God. And come down from the cross.
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
He saved others, he cannot save himself. For we need is the kingdom of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. We trust in God, let him deliver him now, if he wants him. For he said, I am the Son of God.
The revolution. revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. At about 3:00, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?"
Which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine and, putting it on a reed, gave it to him to drink. But the rest said, But Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked, rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him, who were keeping watch over Jesus, feared greatly when they saw the earthquake quake and all that was happening. And they said,
"Truly,
this was the Son of God."
There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in a new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance to the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, chief priests and Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we
said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to the Lord Jesus Christ.
The Church celebrates today as both Palm Sunday and Passion Sunday. It is on Palm Sunday that we enter Holy Week, welcoming Jesus into our lives, asking him to allow us a share in his suffering, death, and resurrection. This is the time of the year when we stop to remember and relive the events which brought about our redemption and salvation. The Holy Week liturgies present us with the actual events of the dying and rising of Jesus. These liturgical celebrations present us with the actual, enable us to experience in our lives here and now what Jesus went through then 2,000 years ago. In other words, brothers and sisters, what we commemorate and relive during this week is not just Jesus dying and rising, but our own dying and rising in Him, which result in our healing, reconciliation, and redemption with God and with one another. Just as Jesus did, we too must lay down our lives freely by actively participating in the Holy Week liturgies. In doing so, you and I allow Jesus to forgive us our sins, heal the wounds in us caused by our sins and the sins of others, and transform us more completely into the image and likeness of God. In this way, brothers and sisters, we will be able to live more fully the divine life and likeness we received at baptism. Proper participation in the Holy Week liturgies will also deepen our relationship with God, increase our faith, and strengthen our lives as disciples of Jesus and members of His kingdom. But let us remember that Holy Week can become so-called holy for us only if you and I actively and consciously take part in the liturgies of this week. During this week of passion, passionate suffering, passionate grace, passionate love, and passionate forgiving, each of us is called to remember the Christ of Calvary and then to embrace and lighten the burden of the Christ whose passion continues to be experienced in the hungry, the poor, the sick, the homeless, the lonely, the unemployed, and the outcast. Today's liturgy combines two contrasting moments of glory and suffering. The welcome of Jesus into Jerusalem, the drama of His trial culminating in His crucifixion. Therefore, we need to ask today as we enter the Holy Week, do I welcome Jesus into my heart? Am I ready to surrender my life to Him during this Holy Week and welcome Him into all areas of my life as my Lord and Savior, singing Hosanna? Today we receive palm branches at the divine liturgy of our celebration. We all have. Thanks be to God, we have the possibilities of getting these branches. Let us take them to our homes, these blessed branches, and put them someplace where you can always see them, or we could see them. Let the palms remind us that Christ is the King of our families, that Christ is the King of our hearts, that Christ is the only true answer to our quest for happiness and meaning in our lives. And if we do proclaim Christ as our King, let's try to make time for Him in our daily life, especially time during this Holy Week. Let us be reminded that He is the one with whom we will be spending eternity. Let us be reminded further that our careers, education, our finances, our homes, all of the basic material needs in our lives are only temporary and not permanent. Let us therefore place Christ the King as the primary concern in our lives. It is only when we have done this that we will find true peace and happiness in our confused and complex world. And I would like to conclude our reflection this morning with a joke or an anecdote that, little Stephen could teach us. Little Stephen was sick on Palm Sunday and stayed home from church with his mother. His father returned from church holding a palm branch. The little boy, as naughty, was very curious and asked, "Why do you have that palm branch, Dad?" "You see," his dad started explaining to him, "when Jesus came into town, Everyone waved palm branches to honor them. So we got palm branches today. Oh, amazed and wondered, Stephen grumbled a little and said, Dad, the one Sunday I didn't go to church and Jesus showed up. Well, brothers and sisters, this little Stephen teaches us lesson. Christ doesn't appear only on this day, but Christ is in us and lives us. And what we are going to share this Holy Week is not only Christ's story, as I said, it is our story. And it's the story of the whole world, the salvation story. I hope we do get some time, though during this week we don't have any services here except on Easter Sunday, the 11 a.m. Mass, but our services will be kept in our parish church of St. Thecla. Please do find some time in the evenings. That's why we have on Thursday 7 o'clock and Friday, Good Friday, 12 o'clock we start with a fine way of the cross and followed by the liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the cross. And of course, on Sunday, 9 p.m., we would have the greater night called the Easter Vigil, in which we will be welcoming into our community and to the church that those three wonderful ladies who have opted to come back to our church and be part of us members of this community and of Christ. Let us prepare ourselves to celebrate the mystery of this greatest week God has given us. Amen.